Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse, and we're going to pick up reading at verse 31. As I preach in your hearing, and by the grace of God, as the old preachers used to say, practical duties for the Christian in this present evil world. Yes, we are to pray. Yes, we are to read God's holy word. Yes, we are to witness for the Lord and be faithful to God in church service and church work and helping others in the church family, but God wants us to do some other things as well, to be concerned about those who are without. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, indeed what a day that will be, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Check everything again. Make sure everything is right. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king, that's Jesus Christ, the one and only king, the King of Kings, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Lord, for salvation full and free through your Holy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we individually, as Christians, should and do now confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who've sinned against us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, this is not our first rodeo, as we have preached the gospel daily for hundreds of days, over 1,000 days, and we're working on the 2,000 knocking on the door. And the devil hates it. He hates the preaching of the gospel. And he will use family members, friends, and foes, professional Judases to try to hinder, professional Sanballats and Tobiases to try to distract us. No matter what the situation is, no matter how good the situation is, no matter how wonderful the situation is, the devil raises his ugly head because he wants this stopped. Too many souls are being saved. Too many Christians are being encouraged. Someone was watching us, I don't know where from, probably somewhere in South America, sounds like, on yesterday, and said, thank you for all you do for sinners and saints, something to that effect. And thousands give us amens and stars and hearts and their support. And we pray for them that they would pray for us again, as I have asked them to pray while I'm preaching, that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior through the preaching of the gospel. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray for over 3 million Christians to come back from their backslidden state. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind our enemy the devil and his demons and his hosts. Lord, from the preaching of your holy word today, you've done it thousands of times before millions of people. And Lord, we pray that you'll do it again today, even though, just like last weekend, we were hit hard by the devil through Judases, Sanballats, Tobiases, and Demetriuses, who think it's all about them and not about you. We cast all of our cares upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And Lord, I pray that our friends all across the country and around the globe will lift us up in prayer as we are constantly fighting the devil and his Judases and his Sanballats left and right each and every day, no matter how wonderful things are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. Please turn in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 25 and 31 down to 46. A very powerful passage, a very important passage, a very deep passage. It really would take us a year to even go through this properly. And by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing once again practical duties for the Christian in this present age. Part 4. Dr. John Walford of Dallas Theological Seminary, I believe he has gone home to be with the Lord after serving the nation and the world well, it appears to me, and is still being a blessing from his hard work in the study of the Word of God, making it plain for us. Thank God for Dallas Theological Seminary. He said, when the sheep reply asking when they did these deeds of kindness, the king will reply, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And the other night, I believe it was a setup. I was coming out of a grocery store, and we live in a pretty well-to-do area, and I've never seen this before, and I probably will never see it again. I kind of believe that it was a setup. A guy who looked pretty he wasn't hungry, I assure you that. He was about 300 pounds and looked pretty prosperous. He came into the grocery store, and a guy that I'm very familiar with who checks me out, he showed him something. I don't know what it was. And the guy asked him, how much is it? And he said, $5. So he gave him the $5. And I walked out the door, going to my car, and he approached me rather aggressively. And I can handle my own, but he was bigger than me. And my problem was not him trying to sell me nothing. Plus, it was at night. And I'm a black guy in a predominantly white area where I live at. And he was a big husky fella on a bike. And when as a black man, you think safety first. And as soon as I walked out the door, he approached me rather aggressively, talking about selling me something or something. I said, no, sir, I'm not interested. He didn't explain what he was selling it for. He didn't act like or look like he was homeless or in need. And plus, he was selling something. Now, if he had approached me correctly, I would have just given him the money. I had some change that would have been very easy for me to give to him, and so forth. But he wanted to try to negotiate a deal with me, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't know what you're selling. You're not approaching me right. And I got to get, in the words of my dad, I got to get in my hat. And I'm sharing that with you, dear friends, especially for you women. Just because somebody approaches you, particularly in this day and time of Noah-time-like violence, particularly at night. Normally that kind of stuff, you know, you see people selling stuff during the day, but not in this neighborhood. If things are out of the ordinary, particularly you ladies who have tender hearts and are easily, I hate to say it, easily deceived. In fact, for most of you women, particularly if you're a good-looking woman, for most women, you just need to, if someone approaches you, listen to me carefully. If someone approaches you, you hear me well. God bless your heart. And you know you fly and got it going on in the parking lot of a grocery store. Don't pay them any mind. I don't care how poor they look. I don't care how much they begging. If they are male, and even some females, these people today will cut your throat, take your keys, your purse, and by the time you find out what's going on, they have run up $2,000 on your card, and they are living in your house. Okay? And so I believe it was a setup, somebody trying to test, but it may not have been. But I was not inclined, and I was not led to do that. So God wants us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen, somebody. And I was alone. Nobody was with me. And normally I have my sons with me at least. And they can, especially my youngest son, he's a mighty man of valor. Very strong young man, and I believe he can beat up his big brother if his brother ever tried something. But and so I'm not worried. I wasn't worried about it. Plus, I was parked around the corner, and I was not hearing it. I just, as in the words of my dad, who's in heaven, I got my grip and kept on going. And I advise you to be very wise. Most of you men can handle yourselves, and you have discernment, and you can tell if somebody's trying to pull one over on you. Don't give any money to people like that. Don't even if they're selling something. You know, some folks think that's noble, that you're selling something. That may not. You know, I need to know where you got it from too. You might be selling stolen goods, and I don't want to be caught up in your mess. So be careful. And you women ought to just have a default situation. If man says something to you in the parking lot, you keep on getting up, and you hurry up and get in your car, and you have your phone upside your head like you're talking to your husband. Amen, somebody. God wants us to help people, but not everybody. Okay. People are in their grave today trying to help somebody. Just the other day, Oprah, who's known to help a lot of people, the other day she said she's going to quit doing that because a lady reached out a window trying to help somebody with some money or something one night up in New York somewhere. And see, that's what I'm talking about. And it was late at night, and they pulled her out of their car and killed her and took her car. See, you got devils like this running around all across this country, around the globe. Now, you can't help nobody when you did, okay? So, be wise as a serpent, like Jesus told you, but harmless as a dove. God wants us to help people, but not everybody. Because a lot of people are coming to you in sheep's clothing. This man who came towards me, he looked like a fat sheep. And so I said, no, and he was, you know, very aggressive approaching me. No, back up, Jack. Back up, man. You're not going to get me involved in anything here. And so I got my grip and left. And I want to encourage you to do that. There's many, many ways today to give. It's easier to give now than ever before. It's easier to help people now than ever before. And children normally have a good sense about these things. And normally when they tell you to help somebody, it's normally going to be the right thing to do. That's been my experience. But there are many ways to give and help today, and that God sees it, and God will bless you for doing it. For example, most of our giving is online. One of the most beautiful things in the world is to be able to give online. The easiest way to give, Danae, is to give online. I love it. I love it. I love it. I thank God for technology. I thank God that I can give some money to a Samaritan's purse and get a receipt immediately. I mean, the receipt beat the money to the place. I know it does. And I think it's wise to support reputable organizations like Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, with open books, and book and good accounting, and nobody's trying to drive a Lamborghini. Amen, somebody. Okay? And there are organizations that are watchdogs for organizations that are charities. We need to work with charities where it's all about the people. It's all about glorifying God and the people, not people trying to become fat cats off of a charity. So, my beloved, in mentioning my brethren, he is referring to a third class, Dr. Walver said, neither sheep nor goats, which can only be identified as Israel, the Jewish people, the only remaining people who are in contrast to all the Gentiles. End of quote. In our last message, my beloved, we talked about the spirit and attitude of the believers in response to this praise from their master. They didn't give it any thought. And if you mocking stuff, what you do, and he keeps a good score. He knows everything you've done, and he knows why you did it. He knows why, how you did it. He knows what the motive was behind it. God is the one who keeps score. See, truly born again Christians, they don't keep score. They're not getting geared up to say, Lord, Lord, don't you remember when I did this? Lord, Lord, don't you remember when I did that? And so, ladies and gentlemen, the king has described their good service to others as having been done unto him. However, the righteous point out that they never saw the king hungry. The righteous point out that they never saw the king thirsty or naked or sick or in prison. Jesus' response is, verily, verily, truly, truly, just give it to, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, the poorest one, or the weakest one, or the most homeless one, the one who's really struggling financially, ye have done it unto me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, who are the brethren? And Dr. Walford helped us. And Jesus speaks of whom these believers have ministered to. Many believe that due to the context of the passage and the fact that it is a depiction of a judgment that will take place right after the tribulation and before the millennial kingdom, the brethren Jesus speaks of are the children of Israel, God's chosen people. No matter how bad you think you are, dear Christian friends, God still loves the children of Israel. And we all ought to thank God for the Jews. And we all ought to make sure we don't listen to certain people, such as Andy Stanley and a few others, who are trying to tell us to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament and what God did with and through the Jewish people. No, no, no. You must understand, my beloved. One of the things that makes Christianity so powerful, so wonderful, is the foundation of the Old Testament, the foundation of the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And always remember, whether you like it or not, you white supremacists and you black supremacists and you Muslims, Jesus is a Jew. People were killing Jews in Germany, because the Jews were blamed for killing Jesus, and Jesus is a Jew himself. But they believed in Luther, a German, and many thousands of millions of folk in Germany believe in Jesus to this day. But people still have a problem with his brethren, the Jews. So Jesus, a Jew and the King of the Jews, my God, how wonderful is that, was concerned about how his people, according to the flesh and according to promise, would be treated. Dr. Warren Wiersbe brings out, who are these people that the King dares to call my brethren? Paul called them my brethren according to the flesh. That means they may not see Jesus the way I see Jesus, because I met Jesus face to face. He knocked me off my horse. They may not be born again Christians. They may not be my spiritual brethren, which is most important, but they're my brethren according to the flesh. But Jesus called them brethren. It seems likely, he said, that they are the believing Jews from the tribulation period. These are people who will hear the message of the 144,000 witnesses, and they have no connection to the Jehovah's Witness, which thankfully are declining big time. And they trust Jesus Christ as Savior. These are they, the last days Jews, who trust in Christ. Since these believing Jews will not receive the mark of the beast because they are believers, they will be unable to buy or sell. And by the way, my beloved, I don't know if this man is a prophet or not, but he revealed from his church pulpit this past week that he believes that the Antichrist is already using and or will use cell phones as the mark of the beast. Watch this now. And I'll be honest with you, I never thought about this. But both things are happening. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You can buy, you can just, listen to me very carefully, you can go to almost any store today, and you can buy things with your phone. You just wave your phone over something, and boom, there you go. But not only that, you can't get into certain places without something on your body marking you. They can scan your eyes, scan your fingertip. So the day is fast approaching when you would have to take a number on your body and to buy and to sell. And these Jews, these believing Jews in Christ, they refuse to do that. And see, when you can't buy or sell, then you're in trouble. You got a problem. How then can they survive? Through the loving care of the Gentile Christians. The loving care of the Gentiles who have trusted Christ and who care for his brethren. The actions of these believers will be reminiscent of the many Europeans, white folks and black folks and brown folks and yellow folks, who helped protect, hide, and smuggle Jews to safety. Thank God they did, for that's how the Jewish race has powerfully, even since the 40s, continued on, multiplied and continued on. They are the unstoppable children of Israel. Amen, somebody. You have a problem believing in God, dear friend? Look at the Jew. They're still here. They've been chastised. They have been persecuted. They have been scattered to every country of the world, but they are still here in every country they go to. They make a mark. Einstein, Freud, the CEO of Facebook, Jews, Bloomberg, Jews, the Jews. Thank God for the Jews. It was a Jew and his crew who saved us from speaking German right now in America and around the world, from a devilish man named Adolf Hitler. We thank God for the Jews. We thank God that they have survived. If you are a born-again Christian and you have a sound mind, you're grateful to God for the children of Israel. What a blessing they have been to the world. No one can deny it. The actions of these believers will be reminiscent of the many Europeans and others who helped protect, hide, and smuggle Jews in safety during World War II, as Hitler attempted to wipe out the Jewish race. I mean, seriously. Seriously. He was demon-possessed, driven by the devil himself, to kill God's chosen people. And he knew what the Bible said about the children of Israel. But yet he did it anyway. Those of us, ladies and gentlemen, I learned this past week that, sad to say, there were some Judases among the Jews that betrayed their own people for Hitler. I had not heard much about that, but there were some. There were some. There was always betrayers, traitors, Judases in every area of life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, those of us who are believers today will not be alive during the tribulation. We will have died before then and gone to heaven or taken up by the grace of God in the rapture. I prefer the rapture myself, but I'm okay with death either way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you would be okay with death as well if you trust Christ as Savior. Get your eternal life insurance today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, that should not prevent us from following the example of the future believers who will risk their lives to take care of the Lord's chosen people. And there are many Christians right now who are hated. Dr. Hagee is one of them because he loves the Jews. And he stands with the Jews. Liberty Council, they're hated because they stand with the Jews. And so many others. Jewish Voice. We support the Jewish Voice. We support Jews for Jesus. And so many other Christians, even today, stand with the Jews. It is highly likely that without born-again Christians such as Dr. John Hagee and others, Israel would have never gotten their embassy moved to Jerusalem. Or that recognized, rather, by America and other countries, that that's their capital. If it had not been for Bible-believing Christians who pushed for that and fought for that and prayed for that, and thank God, through this president, that is done. Something they talked about for decades is finally done. And we pray for other countries to follow. These believers will already have a target on their backs due to their faith in Christ. The Antichrist will be driven to persecute all those who refuse to take his mark, 666. 666 is well known. It's even in popular culture. I was watching a drama the other day, and this attractive lady hollered at this attractive man, handsome man, to her. She said, "Call me. You have my number, don't you?" And he was getting in the car. He said, "Yeah, 666. That's your number." Ladies and gentlemen, however, it is the number of the Antichrist in a very real sense. Satan will fuel his double hatred for the Jews, and his final act will be an assault on the Holy Land in an effort to stamp them out once and for all. If under such dire circumstances these believers can remain faithful to living out their Christian faith by loving their neighbors through word and deed, we who are under far less pressure, thanks be to God, can do so today, not only for the Jews, but for the poor, hungry, unclothed, homeless, sick, and imprisoned wherever we find them by the grace of God. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Wesley said so many years ago, "Who are these arrayed in white, brighter than the noonday sun, foremost of the sons of light, nearest the eternal throne? These are they that bore the cross, nobly for their master stood, sufferers in his righteous cause, followers of the dying God. More than conquerors at last, here they find their trials over. They have all their sufferings past, hunger now and thirst no more. No excessive heat they feel from the sun's direct rays. In a milder clime they dwell, region of eternal day. He that on the throne doeth reign, them the Lamb shall always feed, with the tree of life sustain, to the living fountains lead. He shall all their sorrows chase, all their wants at once remove, wipe the tears from every face, fill up every soul with love." Amen, somebody. Now, dear friend of mine, in this same passage that I read to you, the Bible talks about Jesus said that the devil was not, rather, hell was not made for us. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But unfortunately, if you act like the devil, look like the devil, carry yourself like the devil, do what the devil tells you to do, you will go to hell with the devil and his angels. But there's a way out. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Are you ready to do that today? Just acknowledge that you are a sinner, and that you deserve to go to hell. So do I. We all have done wrong. So understand, first of all, accept the fact that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, dear friend, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, the Bible tells us people who will be going to hell with the devil and his angels. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Here is his guarantee. Here is his promise to you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. And God is just, and he will do it. He'll forgive you of your sins and save you. It's not by your works of righteousness that you're saved. It's by the gift of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine, was buried, and rose again on the third day. It's not about you, it's about him. Just believe in him, and he'll carry you through. He'll save you. Follow me in prayer, dear friend, and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, and he will. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your commandments. I have lied before. I have disobeyed my parents. I've dishonored my parents. I have lusted before after people and things. I've stolen things before. Lord, forgive me, but I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, Jesus loves you most importantly, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.